We are very delighted to have in the studios Kathy Goswell, Cumberland Bird Observers Club. And do you know what? They're having a birthday this year. 41 years they've been going. Kathy, good morning and thanks for joining us on Spotlight with Darren and Jim.
Good morning, Jim and Darren. Really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about our organisation, Cumberland Bird Observers Club.
Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic. And when I found out, I think you've got just over 400 members, I was absolutely taken back by that number because I just didn't imagine so many people were into birds.
Well, really, yes, we've got a really large and active membership, but beyond them, you'd be amazed how many people are interested in birds. If they're local birds, the ones they see in their backyard and in their local park, and others who belong to quite a few other organisations in the Sydney area.
Well, I have our listeners take a much more active role when they're just out walking, and this morning on my way over here, and Darren rides his bike every day. We see lots of people walking and talking and doing things. We hope that, as I said, this makes them a little bit more conscious of the birds. Tell us about what types of birds are in Sydney, just in general terms that people might not be aware of in terms of what they see going around.
Well, I think what people would be surprised at first is just the number of different species of birds you can see in
Sure.
Sydney. We've got over 300 species, which is an amazing number. People are aware of a few, maybe a handful of birds that they know in their local area, like the big white sulphur-crested cockatoos or the rainbow lorikeets or the magpies. But if they look a bit further afield around their own houses and parks and into some of our wonderful reserves, you can see so many others. We've got a large number of amazing parrots, colourful parrots. We've got water birds along the Parramatta River and along the coast. We've got nocturnal birds. We have owls and other nocturnal birds like the tawny frogmouth and nightjars that people probably aren't aware actually active in their area around and at night, and they just don't look for them and don't know how to recognise that they're there.
Well, let's explore that. What's your favourite bird?
Well, mine is the Australian magpie. That would be my all-time favourite, and that's the favourite of most Australians, really.
Well, it's interesting because we asked you that question before, and I was a bit taken back, Darren, that the magpie was your favourite bird. Nothing wrong with that, but just tell us.
Well, for me, yeah, being a cyclist and in springtime, it's probably my least favourite bird, even though at home we do have a magpie family, but it seems as though as soon as I put my cycling gear on and on the bike, it seems to know that I'm not family and I'm someone different, and even just near my home I get swooped. So why is that, Kathy?
Well, it is springtime, and the birds, the pairs, are busy trying to raise a brood of chicks, and they're a very smart bird, and they're prepared to do almost anything to protect their families, yeah, which is understandable because we are moving around in their territories. But why so many... I like magpies and so many other people love magpies is they're smart birds, and they generally seem to like people as well. They live for a long time, 25 to 30 years, and they have stay in the one territory, so they get to know the people that are in their territory, and they'll come down to into the yard, they'll play in the yard, they'll talk to people with a little bit of attention and you know, a little bit of bribery, some fresh water and a little bit of food. They develop long standing relationships with people. It's just they do get a bit scared of those anonymous, helmeted, fast-moving creatures that might race by on a bike from time to time. Yeah,
we'll have to forgive them for that. But it seems as though they have it ingrained, because this one at where I'm at home seems to be a young one that's grown up in our yard but now is taken to swooping. And so it just might be their, how they do those things. Yeah.
Well, I think in spring they're full of testosterone and they're there to protect their families, yeah. So you probably need to spend a bit of time and have a bit of a chat and...
So... someone in their yard can see a lot of varied varieties of birds and yes. bird species, but I understand to see the diverse nature of birds across Sydney, you often need to go on excursions, and that's what your club does cater for as well.
That's right. The aim of the club is to educate the community, to share our knowledge of how to identify birds and where to find them in the local areas. And so to enable that, we run a program of three outings a month run by volunteers and take people out into some of the lovely reserves and parks that we have around the northern and western areas of Sydney.
Do you have a favourite location you like going to?
Well, Sydney Olympic Park is at Homebush Bay is a wonderful area. I said you could see over 300 species in the Greater Sydney area, but they've seen 200 species just in that area at Homebush over time, which is an amazing number considering it's a park surrounded by such a big urban area.
So Sydney Olympic Park, I know I ride my bike around there, and there's some infrastructure for actually looking at birds, like bird hides and all those sorts of things. How important are they to enable someone like yourself and those who come with you to see birds in their natural environment?
Well, for certain types of birds, like water birds and migratory waders, the ones that do that wonderful migratory trip up to Siberia and Alaska every year and return back to us here in Australia, in Sydney, a hide is really important because you need to be able to spend a fair bit of time, set up a telescope, because the water birds a fair distance away feeding in the water, obviously, and you don't want to scare them and get them set to flight. You want to be able to spend time and look at them. Yeah,
Darren, I'm really interested, and that's in the day, but I think there's a whole market, if you like, or an environment of the night. And I'm wondering, does your organisation, and they're at Castle Hill, have night outings to look at the migratory patterns and the behaviour of birds, do they?
Yes, we do organise some evening outings sometimes, specifically to try and look at for owls and nightjars in sort of areas where you know. Spotlighting is trips.
Spotlighting on spotlight.
Spotlight on spot.
Actually, I didn't realise that. No, it's spotlighting. Yes.
And talking about, we are live radio, and time always flies away. It's time for a break, and after the break, we'll talk more about the night birds. But I do believe you've got a song for us, Kathy.
Yes, that's right. I'd like to listen to Jimmy Barnes. You Take Me Higher and Higher.
And here it is, Jimmy Barnes, Higher and Higher on Spotlight on Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5.
It's 90 minutes past 10, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's great to be here, and we're very fortunate to have Cappy from Birds telling us wonderful things about what happens in our environment. Kathy, I want to go back to a question just before the break, and we had a wonderful song there. Thanks for picking that with Jimmy Barnes. We're dancing away, listeners, yes. in the studio. Very COVID dancing, let me tell you, very COVID conscious. Mm-hmm. But on a serious note, we talk about the nighttime environment. I thought there was only basically one type of owl, but you're saying there's plenty of different types of owls, for example.
Yes, there's quite a few. And so in Western Sydney, for instance, we'd have the very big powerful owl, which is almost the size of a 2 to 3 year old child, magnificent animal. We've got a much smaller southern bulbul, which is the mopoke that people will know from...
I heard one the other night. It's kind of like, mopoke.
Yes, mopoke's exactly what they say, yeah.
Darren, you are always full of good information.
There's the big, the white barn owl, out, you know, like Skyville and that sort of area on the paddocks and pastures out there. And then not owls, but nocturnal birds. There's the tawny frogmouth that tries to pretend it's a stump on a tree where it roosts during the day. And then there's some smaller night birds called nightjars, an owlet nightjar, white-throated nightjar. They're out there flying around, all insect eaters. And active.
And Kathy, one of the things Darren and I always say every program, we're so fortunate to be able to invite people. This show is an invitation. We invite people here who've got a wonderful story to tell. And listeners, we always say this every week, either I say it or Darren highlights it, that we love to watch the people who tell us their story. Your eyes, your mannerisms say how passionate you are in what you do, and that gives us great satisfaction, because that's really one of the cornerstones of this show.
It sure is, Jim. And Kathy, just talking about the night birds, if I were to see something in our area, and for me it's Carlingford North Rocks, is it likely going to be a barn owl? Because I did see an owl one night just sitting there up in the tree, very silent, a silent type of owl. How do we work that out, and what resources are there to go and research what I'm seeing in my backyard?
Well, there's lots of resources, Darren. On the internet in particular, there's a number of great websites. First one I'd look at was Birds in Backyards, and if you go in there, they've got pictures, and they've also got calls of a lot of the common birds around the local area with descriptions, and that you can work through a key of the sort of identification points. So the first thing I'd say in your backyard, just try and note as much information as you can about what you're seeing. And
before we're on, you're telling me about an app, and we're going to try and get it online and... We probably thought we didn't have enough preparation time, and next time you come back, we'll definitely play some birds' songs and sounds on the air. But what is that app, and does that help people as well?
It does. There's a site called Zeno Canto. That's Zeno with an X. And people have stored there lots of bird call recordings, and you can go on there and just play them.
Well, I'll make sure I get the details from you and put it with our podcast, so if people are interested, they can actually follow up on that app as well.
Birds in Backyards, they've got calls there. You can pay for the full field guide rather than have a hard copy book these days. You can download an app on your phone, and that has drawings, photos, distribution maps, descriptions, and bird calls as well, all on your smartphone.
Amazing your smartphone can do, hey Jim. These days, so the bird type field guides, I know there's like Frog ID app and things like that, and we love sharing these sort of ideas with our listeners. Another thing that you may not be aware of, Jim, and I'm having a look here, and I've heard about it through some other people as well, is that it's National Bird Week that's coming up. So
that's
Kathy,
right.
Can you tell us more about that? And is there any special activities taking place on National Bird Week?
National Bird Week's Monday the 19th, I think, through to Sunday the 25th of October.
So it's coming up in a fortnight.
Yes, that's right. And it's a national week to celebrate our native birds across Australia. And the big activity is taking part in the Aussie Backyard Bird Count.
So what's that about?
You can download a free app, so it will allow you to identify the birds you're seeing in your backyard or in your park, and you could do a count. I've seen one magpie, three rainbow lorikeets. It will help you identify the bird. You record how many you're seeing, and it will automatically note by GPS where you are, where you've seen that bird. And that information will go on to the national database,
so
the Atlas
like
of Australian Birds.
Crowdsourcing bird information activities.
Yes.
Amazing.
You can be a citizen scientist.
Scientist. That's what I love, Jim. You like being a citizen scientist?
I can't wait till the 19th of October. Yep. I'm in.
And You aren't limited to that week either. You can download the app probably right now and get started, and use it to help you identify the birds. So when you're ready to do your survey, you'll know what you're seeing, and you might feel a bit more adventurous to go out a bit further afield and see some different birds as well.
So, Kathy, we've talked about Sydney Olympic Park as a great area to look for birds. Are there other areas around Western Sydney that are really good for bird watching?
I would say straight away Narragindji Reserve. It's a wonderful place at Doonside. And don't limit yourself to the area around the lakes and ponds there. There are some wonderful paths and tracks through the bushland in that area, and you can see a wonderful range of birds. Easy walking and very, very easy and close to get to. And if you want to go a little bit further afield, Katar National Park, Mitchell Park, is also a wonderful area on the Katai River, and you can see lovely birds, king parrots, black bittern, some really, really quite rare and unusual birds there.
One of the interesting things I'd like to ask, one of my eyes tell me as things change in Sydney, particularly the urbanisation, that must be having an impact on the habitats and the other types of ancillary and food chains that are associated with and for birds. I mean, that must be very, you must be very top of mind with regards to what's happening in particularly Western Sydney.
It is. We have this wonderful range of birds, and not just birds, other wildlife as well, and flora. And unfortunately, that quite rare habitat, which is the Western Sydney woodland, Cumberland Plain woodland, is gradually being reduced down to quite small remnants. Mm. And with the urban expansion, clearing for residential development, we're losing a lot of wonderful habitat for our wildlife. So we really want to let people know what wonderful resource it is, and hope that they'll speak up with their local councils, with their state and federal MPs, to protect the remnants that we've got left, because it's a wonderful resource for our mental and physical health to have those places to be able to go to and see the wildlife, spend time outdoors with fresh air, and take their families out and really spend some time, quality time together.
And so if people want to get involved and participate with Cumberland, how can they get in touch? What do they do?
Well, first go to our website. It's very easy, cboc.org.au. Search for that on the internet, and that will give you all the information you need about our activities. We generally meet once a month at Castle Hill, have a guest speaker and a light supper afterwards. And then, as I said, we've got a calendar of outings, and the outings are advertised on that website. It's also got great information about how you might landscape your garden to encourage native birds, and gives you a lot of pointers about how you might design your garden. It also give you information about other one-off events that will be coming up in the future months. So that's the best site. And the other one I'd recommend is BirdLife Australia. Search that as well. The Discovery Centre at Sydney Olympic Park has a wonderful range of displays about our local bird life, and there's a lot of events that are organised through that organisation as well.
Does it cost anything to join the Cumberland Bird Observers Group?
There is a membership fee, which is quite minimal, I think $45 a year. Yeah. But for that, you get access to a bi-monthly newsletter with lots of wonderful articles, and access to all our outings, meetings, and it gives you, and we give you links to other organisations that are carrying out other activities, conservation activities, such as tree planting and bird surveying. There are trips organised out into the countryside, central west of New South Wales. There's a big network of organisations that we all talk together and advertise amongst us what activities are going on.
Well, on behalf of Darren and myself in Spotlight at 90.5. Kathy, thank you for joining with us and sharing with us your story from Cumberland Birds. Just amazing what you do, and we thank you and wish you all the very best for what you do for us and our community.
Thank you. We'd love to share our knowledge with many more people in the community. Thank you.
Thank you,
Kathy. Thank you for the opportunity.
We will have you back and playing some bird songs as well.
Alive 90.5.